This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
Okay, so good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be, of course, as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So let's get straight into it then. Very, very important Federal Reserve Day. We've got the FOMC later on this early evening tonight, which is Wednesday the 29th now of October. So let's get straight into it then. We've got a couple of sort of important elements to discuss around tonight's FOMC, and it's not particularly the obvious thing like the interest rates. So let's get into it. We'll start, of course, with our risk warning. As always, just be mindful of the risks involved in trading these financial markets. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Right. So all profitable traders need to consider, of course, which markets should we be trading? Of course, no surprise to hear there's a really strong focus on US markets. They're currently dictating sort of, I suppose, global leaders from a growth perspective. We've got the AI boom very much focused on US tech stock, and that's where all the action is. So no surprise that we're trading a lot of these dollar markets. Where do we then enter and exit these markets, of course, is your trading strategy, along with your ability to manage risk and your ability to manage a trade to a successful outcome. Now, we're in a really good trade in the S&P 500, which we're going to be looking to take in profit sooner rather than later, along with trend psychology. So we'll be discussing all these things in detail every day, of course, in our live trade rooms. And we're strong advocates of being consistent with our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and be patient, really kind of no matter what happens. So let's discuss today's trading market moving events. So, of course, I mean, yesterday was a little bit of a bland market dynamic. We got a little bit of positivity on consumer confidence numbers in the US, and as far as the survey is concerned, and manufacturing index didn't come in as weak as probably was expected. So a couple of mildly positive news events coming out of the US. And today now is when everything, not necessarily change, but we've got some market moving events. It's important to just note, overnight we've seen Australian inflation actually spike quite considerably higher, both on the headline and the year-on-year numbers and the headline quarter-on-quarter numbers. So previously, headline year-on-year coming in at 3.0 and now coming at 3.5. So that's a sizable jump higher. And then on the quarter on quarter, it's jumped from 0.7 to 1.3. So coming in even significantly above expectations. So we're going to go and have a look at the Aussie dollar in just a minute. And just to let you know, we've got daylight saving time shift as well. So everything is an hour earlier. So we've got things like pending home sales and the Bank of Canada rate decision as well, expecting a 25 basis point rate cut. So we have this strange dynamic where we're seeing inflation tick higher in various different jurisdictions, and we're seeing central banks dropping rates. So at some point, that becomes, or that has the potential to become, a bit of a sticking point. And we've got some central banks now, which are, their interest rates are actually below their levels of inflation. And if you think of interest rates as a weight that just leans on inflation, and the higher the interest rate, the lower the inflation goes. But if the inflation ticks higher, and it has the potential to sort of gaslight the inflation narrative. Now, there's a lot of these central banks are really pricing in structural disinflation, meaning over time inflation is coming down. Now, the reasons for that disinflation will prove to be really important. The US are and the Fed are really pointing to weaker job numbers, and that's the reason why they're cutting. So we could be seeing the early phases of significant policy errors. We just need the period of time. And of course, it's a government shutdown as well in the US. So the central bank or the Fed are data dependent, meaning as the data comes in, it'll be able to shift and change its policy positions. And we don't have any data. So we got CPI numbers from last week, which actually came in below expectations. So we don't really have growth and job numbers really to work with. So really the Fed are sort of flying blind. But while we're talking about the Fed, we'll come on to tomorrow in just a minute, but we're expecting a 25 basis point rate cut. And although we anticipate we're probably likely to get that, we want to be open for a sizable, you know, we might get an increased rate cut because we have the, I suppose, the scope or the space to do it. If we said the 2-year Treasury note is basically down at 3.5 and we're currently at 4.25, there's a 75 basis point differential that the Fed could lead into, you know, without the wheels coming off. It'd be a very dovish move. It wouldn't be particularly forecasted, so it'd be a bit of a surprise, and the markets would react in a very, very dovish fashion, which would actually gaslight asset prices even more than what we've got. So we think we're getting a 25. We would anticipate we get a 25. We just want to be just mindful of a 50, just in case, because there is the room to do it. While we're talking about the Fed, I want to share a couple of charts with you. And the first one is the Fed's balance sheet. So we've heard a lot about ending quantitative easing. Ending quantitative tightening, QT. So this is the tightening function. So somewhere, yeah. So in so if we go back to COVID, the Fed were printing 120 billion per calendar month up until early 2022, when it started to cut the amount that it was printing down to zero, I think at the end of March 2022. And as a result, we started to see the Fed start to push rates higher from basically zero, right up to 5.5%, which is where we ended. And in the meantime, inflation went from a normal range of sort of 2% up to 9.1 post-COVID, or you know, during COVID. So once the Fed started the cut, what that effectively means and stopped printing, we started to see a natural decline in the Fed balance sheet, and then we had a little bit of a bounce. And what we've seen as far as liquidity from the Fed is concerned is that decrease. Now, the Fed are quite concerned now at this stage, and they're saying, right, well, we're not going to allow this to run off much more, meaning if I just get this up on screen, if I can find my, there we go. So, meaning what we're going to get over the coming weeks and months is potentially this. Now, if the Fed need to step in, then we're starting to get, and who knows where this goes. So we have obviously during the financial crisis, we had a massive move that we kind of drifted sideways, a little bit more elevated. So we do see these spikes, and then the Fed goes through a tightening phase. We had a bit of a wobble in markets again. And then every time the Fed print, it's game on for equity markets. So could this be kind of what we might see, especially if there is any, we kept talking about the Fed being the backstop behind these markets. So if things go very, very badly wrong, like we've seen a little bit in private credit over the last few weeks with First Brands and Tricolor as well, which are these pretty sizable private equity loans going bad and these companies going bust. So will the Fed be the backstop? We anticipate it probably will. It probably need to be the backstop. But the first phase is, you know, at what point will the Fed stop running down their balance sheet? And they do that to try and restrict liquidity in the system. Now, this is where the second chart comes in and becomes quite useful, because where is liquidity currently as of September? Yeah, we've got September numbers in here as well. So where's liquidity? And this is like M2 money supply. So this is this is a broad-based money supply chart. So how much capital is in the system? Well, we're at record highs. So we can say the Fed has run off its balance sheet. It's not doing so anymore. But in terms of broad-based money supply, we've only seen it increase. And the Fed are now basically rowing in behind probably further liquidity in the system. So it is a metric to view these markets. And when we talk about liquidity, there's excess liquidity in the system. And the liquidity is growing despite the Fed's efforts to run down its balance sheet. It's not particularly effective. And this is why we think there's this underlying buy everything rally. And it's broadly down to the amount of liquidity that's in the system, which is continuing to grow. So that's just a little bit of a backdrop there to the Fed. Massive liquidity in the system. Look, we're now getting a little bit of a bounce. So the wheels are coming off the pound, which is really quite an interesting move. And we very nearly got above. We did get a close above the 116, the 116.50 level. We were pretty close to making significant progress. So what we want to do again is just highlight and identify our directional bias in these markets, and it's clearly to the upside. Now we are at, going into the FOMC, we're at record highs, of course, all-time highs. We're in this trade making decent returns on it. We've got kind of a positive 3-to-1 at least risk reward in this S&P 500 trade, which we're going to look to take profit sooner rather than later. And we've benefited from a pretty significant run, so we can absolutely take profit off the table pretty soon. Our overall bias in these markets is still to the upside. So elsewhere is an interesting decision. We've actually got an upward bias in markets like gold and eventually in the dollar. It's just the euro is dealing with, obviously, it's got a couple of pieces of headwinds. We've got lower growth, broadly speaking, across Europe. And we've got this political situation in France. So quite dysfunctional, really, in many ways. And it's just weighing heavy on the euro. So this is a time when we would have expected. We've got classic risk on market conditions. And we'd expect the euro to reflect those risk on conditions. And it's not really doing so just yet. In terms of directional bias, we have had a little bit of a bounce, but we're eventually looking for this rollover to the downside. Had a good move yesterday, not too far away from taking profit as well. So we're going to look to take profit in the S&P, and we're in a good bit of profit as well for US oil, with further downside expected. And let's see what happens with the euro dollar as well as the day unfolds. So the other dollar market I just wanted to share with you was the Aussie dollar. So this is where we find ourselves, which is dollar. I mean, it's quite an impressive move, but it's the only trade that's showing you see the CAD is now making actually progress, and it's rolling over to the downside, just a poor quality trade. Now we're breaking out of this range. Now the problem we've got around the dollar is it's a mixed bag. We've got significant strength against the pound, against the dollar, and against the Swiss franc. The dollar is strengthening quite aggressively, and we've seen that as well in the euro dollar. And we've got significant dollar weakness against the CAD, the Aussie, and the New Zealand, I'm sure. So we're making slower progress there. So really, when you've got, we are looking for dollar weakness, and it's understandable to be a little bit on the cautious side, because when you trade foreign exchange, you want to trade strength versus weakness. You don't want to trade strength and weakness at the same time, which is where the dollar's at. So just surprised not to get a follow through, not to get a move in the euro dollar. So the yen is the other currency which is currently strengthening, and we're now close to seeing a structural failure trade back to the downside. That's the next part of the news event, is we've got the BOJ tomorrow morning. So this may prove a little bit premature. This might be opportunities to actually buy the dip, so to speak, because we've got the potential. We've got a new Japanese prime minister who met Donald Trump yesterday, I think it was. And she's certainly on the more stimulative end of the scale. So not really tightening, and wouldn't be an advocate of the BOJ to raise rates, which they may do, but not right now. So look, we're pulling back. So gold is kind of bouncing off its lows. We were kind of looking for opportunities. We're running right into really strong resistance. So it's going to be, gold's going to be an interesting one now to see where things go over the course of the day. And our bias is still to the downside for US oil, and to the upside for the indice markets. So with all this in mind, let's post today's trade plan for you into the chat box. We've got structural risk on market conditions. Can't really find any reason whatsoever to be net sellers. So risk on market conditions as we await major central bank rate decisions and Mag 7. So that's the last thing I just wanted to just reference. Not only today, FOMC, but regarding the BOJ and the yen, this time tomorrow morning, we'll know where we stand regarding the BOJ. Very, very much expected to hold rates at 0.5. And then, one of the big ones as well, the ECB, expected to hold rates at 2.15. So we've got four central banks. In addition, as we've mentioned all week, we also have corporate earnings. I'll just share those with you. So tonight we have, let me get this page up on screen. So we've got five Mag 7 corporate earnings, which are performing significantly well. We've got Microsoft, Google, and Meta. And these are massive, obviously massive markets. And tomorrow we will have Apple and Amazon. So we got five out of the big seven reporting tonight and tomorrow night. So it's all looking structurally really positive. So US indice strength. Dollar weakness post this pullback. Now the Aussie dollar is the lone wolf, the big the big move that we've seen overnight. We're not really seeing follow through elsewhere from the dollar. So a bit of a question mark over dollar weakness. So yesterday we were advocates of selling gold below 4,000. Couldn't really get a decent trade-off. And now we're back to that 4,000 level. So I think what we'll do just from a, because we've got this very significant move. So we did get a move lower. We wouldn't be massive advocates of it. To be getting into it around 4,000, we'd want to see if it runs into resistance. If so, it can sell off and you might get a sell trade. If it breaks above it and pulls back, you might get a buy trade. So we're in that sort of difficult position. US oil looking to sell below those levels. We're below the 60.96. Let's record today's daily low. So below 60. So there's another opportunity to start selling below $60 level. And look, keeping options open, being flexible mentally is a really, really important skill. Not sure we really need to do an awful lot outside this. Nothing going on at all in the bond markets. So the bond markets are surprisingly just staying out of the equation completely. So look, not too dissimilar from our trade plan pretty much all week so far. So on that note, we'll let you guys go. Thanks very much for joining us. We're talking about a dovish Fed. Broadly, we'll hear later on. We'll be broadcasting tonight as well from 6 p.m. Those of you that, the press conference that we'll be more so interested in, broadcasting from around 6:25 p.m. UK time. So if you want to join us for half an hour or so, you'd be very welcome to do that. So that's later on. Risk on, US indices higher. Not quite seeing the dollar lower outside of the Aussie dollar, so we're waiting for some sort of signals really to get into that dollar weakness trade. Bond yields are doing absolutely nothing. They're on the lower end, so that's why we're leaning into dollar weakness, which we're not getting. And commodities, a little bit all over the place broadly because the dollar is a little bit all over the place as well. Right, on that note, guys, listen, thanks very much for joining us. Those of you that can join us for the European trading session, we'll be broadcasting there in just a couple of minutes. So from everyone here, thanks for joining us as always. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next time. Thanks very much. Bye for now.